Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
You can find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI to reach the show by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And by phone, the line here is 715-388-7155. Kirk.
So, you know, this whole show now on Bull Falls in Wausau, and it's playing on Facebook everywhere, but the Up North podcast is what we were doing, the three of us before, you know, the whole point of that, it was to try to get statewide news to folks in rural Wisconsin from a progressive lens, and I'm so happy that this is happening, and I wanted to, you know, just first mention that, you know, our candidate running for state treasurer is from Wausau. And to me, that's huge. I mean, it's not like everybody from Wausau automatically is the best person to run for office at a statewide level. But to me, it's huge because Dr. Bipino understands what it's like to not be in Madison and to not be in Milwaukee and to be a Democrat, you know, kind of in the midst of a very kind of red rural area. And I think that brings a different kind of set of, you know, ways to approach Wisconsin. So I just wanted to ask, Doctor, can you kind of talk about your experience in Wausau and what being in a more rural area brings to the race?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it is a very different life experience to grow up in a metropolitan area like Madison, Milwaukee, even Green Bay, Appleton brings a very different kind of life experience. And for me, there are a couple of issues. I mean, first of all, access to healthcare is more challenging rurally. And in particular, if we look at just reproductive care, since it's on the table and such a big part of the conversation right now, there's no abortion access in the more rural part of the state. If I have a patient who requires referral for that type of care, then she has to be able to travel out of our part of the state. Educational opportunities are more difficult. There's more travel for students. And during the pandemic, you know, the issue of broadband is tremendously challenging because kids needed that, you know, for school. And that was even more of a challenge up in the rural part of the state. So those are all kind of practical, pragmatic kind of daily challenges. But you know, another thing is really kind of a difference in values and how people talk about what's important and kind of where their common ground is. And I think we really need to focus on the fact that there is truly common ground between the values of folks all across the state. And then a lot of times those come down to very basic things like family values, you know, making sure that kids are safe in schools, making sure that people can retire with them, you know, with financial security and dignity, making sure that our veterans are taken care of, making sure we can put gas in the tank to get where we need to go and pay for our groceries. And so those are, you know, those are common values that I would say are often kind of bipartisan values and can really help us get independence and people who we've not provided great rural representation to and perhaps lost to the dark side. You know, to kind of get them back at the table and bring those democratic principles and those kind of common ground issues back to the table. So I think it's really important and helpful to have somebody who looks out the back window and sees a ginseng farm as opposed to a Starbucks and a, you know, a mall and a whatever, what have you, a lot of highways. It just is a different feel and a, you know, geographic diversity, like any diversity, is important to have at the table.
I couldn't agree more with you about shared values. And I've really found that living in Green Bay and coming from the eastern part of the state, that when you start a conversation with someone who you know maybe holds different political views, if you start with what's important to you, you find that you can have these conversations and you can leave politics entirely out of it. So I know you have some really great ideas about what you, as the chief financial officer for the state, will do. But I guess what I'd love to hear is, how are you going to get out to these parts of the state where people feel that they are not heard, they're not able to share their values? And then how are you going to be able to reflect the successes and the efforts that you are going to be working on their behalf, on all of our behalves?
So I have a history in doing this. You know, putting together a program in Guyana required a lot of traveling. And, you know, one thing you have to do is be like a yes person. You absolutely, when you're invited somewhere, the answer has to be yes. You always have to be available and present and responsive. If you ever text or email me, you'll find me to be very responsive. So, you know, looking at the dairy farmers unions, looking at school board meetings, town councils, things like those, drive out there, sit tight, listen, ask questions, let people see you present. And I think listening is really, really important to find a way in and a bridge to connect with people. And then we also need to do a better job at kind of advertising those relationship building efforts and what it brings to the table. So part of that is going to be utilizing the treasurer's office, the website and communications and really kind of a marketing strategy for the treasurer's office so that people know it exists. Cause right now people don't, they're like, oh, we have a treasurer. What's that? Mm-hmm. So we've got to be louder and bigger, and I'm good at that. I'm good at big and loud.
Well, and you're right. I mean, if you don't get that message out to people, they don't know about the good things that are happening. What they know is what they're getting fed from their media sources. And often that's conservative talk radio or Tucker Carlson, and it's not accurate. So for you to have that voice, to be able to amplify your successes, and not just your successes, but the successes from the executive branch, I think will be absolutely critical in our ability to serve each other in this state.
We are talking with Dr. Jillian Patino, a candidate for state treasurer, one of three Democrats on the ballot in next Tuesday's primary to succeed Sarah Godlewski in that role. The other candidates are Fitchburg Mayor Aaron Richardson, who's a technology specialist in the Oregon School District, and Angelito Tenorio, an alder in West Allis. So, Dr. Patino, being in a Democratic primary like this, I don't know if you've had much for forums or other comparisons, but you know, there will be people going there, perhaps fewer now that there isn't as competitive a primary for U.S. Senate with Mandela Barnes clearing the field, but Democrats are still going to show up next Tuesday anyway. And so when they see three Democrats listed on the ballot, what is it you want them to know in terms of, you know, the way that you stand out from this particular field?
Well, I mean, I think this is the year of the woman. I think that, having more moms in office, people who walk into their kitchen and have three teenage boys discussing how they're going to handle an active shooter at Wausau West, should it ever happen, you know, I hope to, you know, that it never, ever, ever, something like that never comes home to us. But, those sorts of issues are front and center. Reproductive care is front and center. Getting STEM people into government is such an important part of the solutions that we need to, evidence-based policymaking along with evidence-based, decision-making is part of what has been missing, and that's what we can bring to the table. So I definitely want to emphasize the fact that I am an experienced, collaborative mom scientist and a warrior, you know, for democratic principles, and I think we have a lot to bring to this table. And we've also had a really nice poll that demonstrates that this resonates strongly with what Wisconsin wants to see right now.
Great. So just wanted to let folks know that are listening both on Facebook and Wolf Falls Radio that the Monongo Brewing Company Super PAC has endorsed Dr. Patino. I'm worried that, you know, this primary is it's not going to be well attended because we've got the Democrats just kind of left the Senate race. And so people might not feel like it's worth voting, but we've got a candidate here who's a superstar and who's poised to potentially do wonderful things for the state of Wisconsin. So I just want to encourage everybody listening that she's from northern Wisconsin. There's not as many Democrats up here as there are in Milwaukee and Madison. But I think it's imperative to have representation from Wausau, from Minocqua, from Ashland, progressives this way. So I'm just encouraging everybody to go vote for this woman for treasurer. And I want to ask, how are you hoping to get the vote out for your candidacy, given what happened with the Senate race?
Well, so, I mean, one thing that I've learned over the last year and a half or so is that the best candidate doesn't always win. If you have a wonderful, you know, message and a powerful story, and you're a great fighter, that's not necessarily enough. You do have to have great voter communication. And because of that, we have invested a lot of our resources into TV and radio in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and statewide cable. So we are, I think, a $250,000 buy to make sure that we're getting the message out. I still drive everywhere. I've put over, I think, 57,000 miles on the car now. If you are going to try to run for a statewide position from Wausau, be prepared to drive 2.5 hours to anywhere. And every time. It's true. So, you know, we're in the car all the time, most days, and that's okay. I mean, that's part of what we need to do, show up to all those Democratic Party meetings, all those labor meetings, every chance we get, anywhere we're invited, but then also to invest and kind of, you know, put our money where our mouth is, and that we believe this is a strong race and that we're bringing something really valid and important to the table, and get those messaging out with TV and radio and, you know, social media and emails and text and all of that as well.
It's definitely harder for us, I think, from the outreaches. We can't just attend an event on a Tuesday night. It's a, like you said, it's a 2.5 hour drive everywhere we go. So it takes a lot of extra effort, but it's so worth it and so necessary, because those of us who live in the North need our voices to be expressed. So I have a soft question for you, and I love Kirk. I know Kirk loves the soft questions, because on the inside, he's all soft and squishy, even though on the outside, he's got a really crusty exterior. So here's my soft question. So I'm a mom too. And when you said that about, you know, your three sons in the kitchen talking about an active shooter conversation, we've had that at my house, exactly that. I'm wondering what your kids think. Here's their mom running for this incredibly important position in leadership, doing something really extraordinary. What do your kids think about what's going on here and what you're doing?
So everybody's really wonderful. You know, so I have three girls and then three boys. The girls are very, you know, powerful, opinionated feminist women. One a family medicine resident, the other two gender, sexuality, and women's studies graduate and undergraduate, and they're incredibly supportive. One of them does a lot of my social media stuff. The boys are a little quieter and introverted teenage boys, but incredibly supportive. I've had them driving me all over the place, handing out literature, making phone calls, and even, you know, helping at home with things that, you know, typically I, you know, mom takes care of. Not always, a little more hesitant there, but they're definitely proud. They wear t-shirts with my name on them. They have stickers on their car. So I'm impressed with the boys. They're very happy with it. And of course, my husband is just awesome, 100% behind me. So
it's such a
thing. I shouldn't say, of course. Yeah, definitely.
But it has to be. It has to be in a situation like this. And how great to have a built-in campaign team like you do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dr. Jillian Bettino, candidate for state treasurer in the Democratic primary next Tuesday, hoping to succeed Sarah Godlewski in that office that Sarah and others, Wisconsin voters, helped protect a couple of years back, and hopefully protecting it from any future power grabs that we might see down in Madison from the legislature. Dr. Bettino, thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure as well. Thanks again. We will take a break in just a moment here. And when we come back, Kristen and Kirk will join us for one more segment where we'll talk about a few other things that are happening up north, a couple of the races that are taking place up here, a surprise in yesterday's primary elections in other states. And we may revisit, you know, what is the most Midwestern thing? A new survey shows that it is... walleye, but goose poop might actually be it. Yeah,
we'll talk about I can talk about goose poop for hours. No,
don't.